Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. On a Thursday. Normally we talk to Field Yates on Wednesday. Today we get him on a Thursday. We've got some Thursday night football, which I keep calling Monday night football for some reason today. But not now. I got it right. Nailed it. Steelers and Browns. And also Colin Kaepernick getting ready to work out.
Nails the day of the week.
Nailed the day of the week.
Great work.
I told you, I hosted first and last on ESPN. Boy, my body clock is all off. That show's early.
Boy, I'll tell you, man.
Field Yates is with us from ESPN.
Our goals are very small now.
Naples Wealth Planning. Go to their website, betterplantoday.com, for a free consultation. Field, how are you?
Hey, Field.
Happy Monday night to you, gentlemen.
Don't do that to
me. Hey, Phil, can you catch? You're an athlete. You can catch football. So you're going to Atlanta because Joe Philbin can't find anybody to catch footballs. Can you play?
Yeah. What a bizarre situation that was. It was actually one of the questions I had was, all right, we've got to work out for a quarterback. Who the heck is he throwing the football to? Because obviously wide receivers that play in the NFL aren't going to be available or perhaps interested in taking part in this. Does that mean you're going to have to rely upon street free agents, guys who are also looking for work? And which of those players is actually going to want to take part in the event, because they would just be a footnote? It would not be an audition for them. It would just be an accessory to the Colin Kaepernick workout.
I don't know. AB's available. Guy's a little meeting today, and then he can head on to Atlanta for the weekend.
Yeah, no, you know something? That's a good point. That's a really good point. I didn't think about that one there. But, yeah, you know something, guys? I don't even know that, like, I've had a hard time sort of sizing up exactly what this role, what this workout is really worth. Mm-hmm. Because it's an opportunity, and on the surface, that sounds like a good thing, right? I mean, it's good to have opportunities for players to try to get employment if they are good enough to play in the NFL. Since the opportunity was brought to light, it's become increasingly clear that there are a ton of hurdles to work out with this workout, no pun intended, and all of a sudden there are a lot of people questioning the legitimacy of it, the intention of it, and the worthwhileness of it, and ultimately that's a bad thing. Like, it got flipped on top of its head before it even took place, and I think there are some people that view this as kind of a sideshow.
Yeah. Well, there's no question about it, because somebody is, I don't know about lying, but somebody isn't telling the truth, because Kaepernick says details were supposed to, or his camp says details, as you know, were supposed to be provided to him of exactly who was going to be there. And the NFL says, nah, not really. So, I mean, it's tough to figure out who to believe. But I also find it odd, I guess. Now, I understand when the NFL.com doesn't have, you know, the Antonio Brown situation on the webpage, but this is something they were supposed to be behind, and you can't find that story anywhere on their webpage, Field. So I don't know what to believe.
Yeah,
I
didn't know that.
Yes, and I'm not entirely convinced that this whole thing is going to happen on Saturday, to be honest with you.
Well, I know that's something that Adam Schefter had suggested on Get Up as well. I think he used the word skeptical surrounding the event. I have communicated with people that are expected to be in attendance on Saturday, and they too have heard that same skepticism. Now, that could be that those people are just following Twitter, right? And they're hearing Adam Schefter may be skeptical, so in turn, they are skeptical as a result of it. But either way, if the idea or the intentions behind this event were for it to be seamless and, you know, productive for all involved, I think it's pretty clear that's not going to be the case.
Now, what, in your opinion, is the best case scenario for Colin Kaepernick? Because I envision him doing well and being, I mean, he might do well, but to the point where somebody signs him for the rest of this year, this is all about next year, best case scenario, isn't it?
So it probably is. And that's the part that I think is just completely mind blowing. Mm-hmm. So if this is about next year, if that was how it was pitched to Colin, or if what Colin expressed back to the NFL in their discourse, well, then why would you do it 5 days later on a Saturday during the season?
I know.
Now, which makes no sense. I keep hearing people say, you know, Colin wanted to and they should have done it on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Guys, okay, sure, yes. Teams, players have the day off, so teams often do conduct workouts, or some workouts, or the majority of their workouts for the week on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Let's be clear. A workout during the season would never result in tons of NFL head coaches showing up. You think there's, like, there doesn't matter what day it is, Heck, Dan Quinn, who works in Atlanta, might not have the time on a Tuesday to get over for this workout. So it was going to be a long shot for head coaches and probably a lot of GMs to be at a workout no matter when, no matter where. But if the intention was for 2020, then they should have done what everybody else has suggested. Do it after the regular season. You know what coaches and GMs do during the month of January for those that are no longer playing in the playoffs? They go to Mobile, Alabama to go watch the Senior Bowl. And I understand it's different when you've got 100 players versus one player. But if you set up on a date, it's sometime when players, oh, sorry, when coaches and GMs aren't readying for their next opponent, you might be able to actually draw an audience.
Well, to me, it just seems like on the surface, this is to me is a whole lot about being politically correct. From the NFL standpoint, Roger Goodell is doing this maybe to protect the other all the owners so nobody individually gets embarrassed by having the media follow them if somebody were to sign Colin Kaepernick. So instead, we'll have this little get-together maybe on Saturday, and we don't know exactly who's going to be there probably. I keep thinking, I'm telling these guys, Phil, you're going to see a bunch of people there dressed up as Inspector Gadget because nobody's going to be – you think people show up in there, like, you know, whether it's Dolphin or Tampa Bay or Patriots or Dallas, you think people will show up in a particular scout's brand of team?
Yeah, I've actually heard that thought among some scouts already. But, you know, ultimately a lot of these scouts know each other too, you know? So, like, and again, I'm totally making this up here.
Yep.
But it's not like if the Rams sent their, you know, Midwest scout to this event, people wouldn't know who that person is because he wasn't wearing a Rams polo, right? Like, a lot of these guys spend a lot of time together because they're on the road throughout the course of the year and just find a way to meet up because that's just, you know, there are a lot of them at the same schools, right?
Right.
A lot of guys go to visit Alabama, and a lot of guys go to visit Florida, and a lot of guys go to visit, you know, you name it, Nebraska. So I don't know that incognito will be the approach that all of them take. It's possible, though. I also can keep, you know, I have been saying is that, like, I actually don't know that, like, a blow-by-blow of which team is going to have a scout or representation there is that important, guys. Like, I expect zero head coaches there on Saturday. I expect maybe zero general managers. But I expect almost every team to be there on Sunday. And here's the reason why. Let's imagine they... That 29 or 30 of the NFL teams are represented on Saturday. You guys know as well as anybody, even though this workout is taking place behind closed doors, you know information is going to leak. You just know it, right? I mean, obviously there's going to be people who are going to speak to members of the media, off the record, of course, that's just how it goes, about how the workout went and who was there. So if we find out, again, making this up, if the Seahawks were the only team that didn't have somebody there, that would look bad for the Seahawks, right?
Yeah.
I think almost every team will be represented there on Saturday.
Well, you guys have, you know, in Bristol, you guys going to send anybody, whether it's South, somebody going to be outside? Obviously, they can't be in the stadium. Can they be, are you sending anybody to report outside the stadium?
I don't know. That's a good question, Pete. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would think we'll have some form of representation today. But don't know for sure.
I just had a vision of scouts showing up with fake nose and mustache and sunglasses walking.
Well, and the other thing too, Phil, while all this is going on, you know, not too far is the game of the day with Auburn and Georgia, so all the serious scouts are going to be over there, wouldn't you think?
Well, I mean, certainly a lot of regional scouts are going to be over there at Auburn and Georgia checking out. You know, they've got lots of players there, right? I mean, like, who should a team be investing more resources in right now? The quarterback at Auburn or Georgia, for that matter, Jake Fromm or Bo Nix. I know Bo Nix is still 2 years available away from being draft eligible, but you know, when you're a true freshman, it means you're a pretty good player. And Fromm's already been a guy that's been evaluated as a potential. You know, it could be a potential NFL draft pick at some point down the line. So yeah, it'd be interesting. I really think it'd be interesting to see how many people show up. But I think still, guys, I do think that there will be some people that will be there. Or a person that will be there from every organization.
Field, final question for me, just along the lines of Tank for Tua. somebody needs to tell the Dolphins to stop winning a two-game winning streak now. I'm thinking Tua might be a Cincinnati Bengal at this point. What are your thoughts on the Tank job so far?
Yeah, remarkable job by the Bengals tanking this season, right?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's like, you know, it's they really have. And I understand. You know what I'd say? I actually don't hear from that many Dolphins fans that are frustrated because the team has won two games in a row.
Yeah.
And here's the reason why I think they're right, is that if you go 0-16 with Brian Flores as your head coach, mm-hmm. not that many, or I should say, not that the entire roster right now is going to be a part of the future going forward, but there are some guys on that roster that are going to be a part of the future going forward. And how are they supposed to buy in to what Brian Flores is selling if they're going 0-16? Right?
Right.
So I actually think there's something to be said in a positive way for the recent success of the Miami Dolphins, because it helps players understand that all the work they're putting in and the guidance of Brian Flores is really, really worth it. And I'm actually a fan of how well they performed over the past couple of weeks. I see an upward trajectory for that team and that roster and that franchise. Mm-hmm.
Phil, final thing for me regarding tonight's game, but you had a great stat today about Minkah Fitzpatrick on the field when he's not on the field. A completion percentage when he's not on the field is 75%, the Steelers' defense. When he's on the field, 62. Yards per attempt goes from 9.4 to 6.4. Picks go from 0 to 13, and total QBR goes from 79 to 20. Now, I know he would never win the MVP, but if that sort of pace continues, man, you got to consider giving him some votes. Those are amazing numbers and the impact this guy has had in such a short period of time with the Steelers.
Yeah, I'd say that a couple of things here is certainly there's some context involved regarding who they've played in those first 2 weeks versus the last, whatever it is, seven games. And I'm aware of that. But Minkah Fitzpatrick has been everything the Steelers could have asked for and more. And he is a game changer. And I still understand why the deal went down. I still do. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to be a part of the program in Miami, then it is. Up to the Dolphins to decide whether the price was worth it. And they decided it was. And I think that this is going to be one of those trades that we'll revisit a bunch of times. And people will say, you know something? That actually worked out for both sides. Both sides got exactly what they wanted.
Right. Mike Field, another great performance. Thank you for coming on. And we'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Field.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's Field Yates from ESPN, brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Go to their website, betterplantoday.com, and get yourself a free consultation. All right, you can chew on anything he talked about, 239-337-ESPN. Coming up next segment, going to be giving away a $50 gift certificate to Link Restaurant. Stay tuned for details there. And O.J. Simpson, Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.